Hello and welcome to a new English edition of my podcast Helium Talk, das Kunstgespräch. My name is Jörg Heikhaus and my guest today is Isabel Croxatto.
Helium Talk.
Yes, it's me again. A few weeks after my last podcast, I'm back with a new one, ready for 2021, so to say. So, happy new year to you all. I'm sure this one will remain to be a bit shitty, but it will also be a lot better. The fascist is out of the White House. That is great. I truly hope my American friends can start to work on the healing process of their country now. But well, it will take some time and a lot of energy. World topic number one. The vampire virus thing will keep us a lot longer in its grip than we all thought almost a year ago, but I'm confident that things will get better soon. We need to get back to being humans with personal interactions outside of the emptiness of the digital social life most are forced into now. It is not a good thing. We all know it. And here's another healing process that hopefully can begin soon, because we will need to heal, not just from a medical standpoint, but very strongly as a society as well, before politics and greed and stupidity spread on social media platforms fuck people up even more. But yeah, I'm wandering off. Maybe it's the liberty of being just an artist with a strong opinion now. Well, after almost 100 of these podcasts, you might know where my heart is. I like to speak my mind, and I do not give a single fuck if people turn this show off because they don't like what I have to say about politics, life, and art. Okay, so let me get off my rant and back to the main event. I'm very, very pleased to introduce my guest of this episode, the wonderful Isabel Croxatto from Chile. We have been trying to connect for some time and it finally worked out. She is usually ultra busy with her gallery, which has been growing large over the past decade. Isabel is coming from a very creative background. She has been a choreographer and she speaks from the heart about her very personal artistic view on what art means for her and thus for people who are willing to open up to it. Isabel usually travels a lot for her gallery and takes part in very prestigious art fairs around the world. Right now, of course, she works from home too, but she and her team have built a fantastic online gallery where she can continue to do amazing shows with amazing artists. One of them we share. His name is Victor Castillo, and I'm sure you all know him by now. Victor will be back this year in Hamburg for a doubleheader show with me. We continue our series of exhibitions that we call Weapons of Mass Seduction. It is the third time we do this now, and damn, I should have asked Isabel if she would be up to hosting the fourth edition sometime in the future. Well, I have her number now and can call her if I like, but for now, let's start the show. I hope you enjoy listening to this fine episode number 82 with Isabel Croxatto.
Helium Talk.
How's the situation in Chile?
Well, at the moment, I think we're going backwards. It's like we're behind Europe, of course. So we're kind of going into the second peak of, so going again back to lockdown, not so hard because it's summertime and people need a vacation. So the government is not so sure about, you know, taking that away. But it's a lot of absurd measures and stuff that brings us crazy. It's like every week you can't just make your agenda. You have to constantly be open, flexible, and change all the time. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, sure. It's probably the same everywhere. Just like in the beginning of COVID, I was always looking outside every country, reading all the news from other countries, and you get more and more to focus more and more on your country because it gets complicated enough where you are, you know. So sometimes you lose track of what's happening in other countries. But I'm pretty sure it's similar everywhere. So is your gallery open now or?
It is open by appointment, and but we open like the 25th of November. It was closed almost all year. And of course, by appointment with all the measures of, and three people maximum at a time. So kind of happy with the idea of meeting with people again, like looking at the face, being able for them also to see the artwork live, which is also such a beautiful experience. But we've been also developing a virtual gallery. Mm-hmm. So we had an architect working on a project, a 3D project, and we have a curatorial group working on designing like online experiences of exhibitions, which are more cinematography experiences than so like it's not like video game technology. Mm-hmm. But it has been wonderful, actually, to be able to reach out the world with the content of our artist, because we're mm-hmm. so far away from everywhere.
Yeah.
So the challenge of reaching out, it's has been always something difficult for us and expensive. Mm-hmm. And so we're experiencing this hybrid model. We'll see what happens, but so far good.
Okay,
yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one thing that a lot of galleries, like, you know, sort of Helium Kawa as well, we've of course, you know, started to intensify the online part. But of course Chile may be a bit more remote than Germany, but if you're in Hamburg, which is a large city, but it's probably not the center of the art world in Germany. So you have to kind of always be present online anyway, in a way. But we've also done some measures, just investing into our online portfolios and everything, so people can get at least continue to get the idea, you know. But the situation that you're doing is like you can actually walk into a room and you can see the artwork on the walls.
It's kind of like a video, actually, but mm-hmm. where we've created a special experience for each exhibition. Mm-hmm. So it's a long process of making the two-dimensional image of the artwork become a three-dimensional object mm-hmm. with all the details of the canvas or the embroidery or the mm-hmm. the brush of the painting. And we did this beautiful place, amazing. I would love to have that gallery for real because it's in the middle of nature. And we're exploring this idea of giving an experience that can be experienced again, sorry for my English, from any place of the world at any time, that you can go back and forth, that the exhibition, once it's finished, it continues to have this archive where you mm-hmm. will always remember. And so looking at the good side of things, as I said before, for us, we're very isolated, actually. And we have wonderful, amazing artists. And I think they're dialoguing a lot with what's happening in the world, but it's very hard to put them on that dialogue. So, for example, now we've commissioned two of our artists, which are a couple, they work together from Argentina, to create a group exhibition. And it was amazing because they convoked artists from around the world. And of course, because it's completely virtual and online, they all said, yes, of course. I mean, mm-hmm. and we have large artworks, and it's not that we can do anything, but we can really do a lot of mm-hmm. new things also. Like, so we're having fun. This exhibition, for example, it's going to happen at night. And it's, okay. you know, like, so also not only the experience of the artwork, but also this mood in which the artist creates a whole production of artworks, which respond to a research, respond to things that are happening. Like right now, the most mm-hmm. important thing for everybody was to be together with others, but so that's the main core of the exhibition. So Exploring, actually, which I think for a gallery, it's also part of being contemporary. It's not that you just frame it there and repeat. And it's also how you think on how you do things. Why do you want everybody to come to a gallery or see an exhibition? How do you bring it out, like what you're doing now with the podcast? Why add that layer when you could just focus on doing the exhibition and selling the work? I mean, it's like what adds value at the end? Yeah. And that's why we all also love the idea of the invitation you made us, because we thought it was super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's I mean, the reasons why we both we are connected through Victor Castillo.
Yeah.
You know, he's an artist that I've been working with for a while, and you're really, you know, sort of, I think, pushed him very far in the last years by representing him very strongly. So that's, I think that's for me personally the only reason why I have a gallery from Chile on my radar, you know, because it's a small country, and you know, I mean, it's probably difficult to know the art scene there at all, you know. So, and through this connection, I'm following your Instagram. I'm seeing what you're doing on the website. I hear a lot of stories, but not many stories, but some stories from Victor when we talk. And I've checked out your online exhibition now. So for me, it was just, you know, pure logic to talk to you at some point, because it's so exciting to also learn about the art scenes and gallery scenes in different countries. And you've already mentioned that you're very remote. But what does that mean? Is there a strong art and gallery scene in Chile? You're in Santiago de Chile, right?
Yeah, Santiago. Well, it's mostly, everything is concentrated in Santiago, which already is a pity. We're not a lot of galleries. I think maybe 20, 30 at the most. So it's a very small scene. We have some very good collectors, and they're in the past 5 or 10 years, maybe really taking responsibility on that and doing it professional. But it's something that it's really very, very developing. And of course, for us, it's a must to go to art fairs around the world, because otherwise we know that we're not in the Humboldt, how you say, flow. So yeah. It's not like some of my collectors, for example, from Hong Kong, are going to naturally come to a business meeting to Santiago, Chile, and of course visit the gallery. So I have to constantly take the gallery to them. And actually, in the past years, we were asking ourselves if we were really doing it well, because it's, then you go once in a year to an art fair, and then another year passes, and you're not in the system of that that community. And though you try hard and send a PDF and a lot of mailings and stuff, it's not the same. So in a way, I must say, COVID brought us an opportunity also to kind of just go for it and start exploring new scenarios. So how could we bring the artwork? And of course, artists like Victor, who are Chilean, but at a point had to go away because of the same reason. It's not so strong in this part of the world to hold artists that have a hunger. I mean, they're hungry for more. And but that's also an amazing experience. And I think one of the beautiful things about art, it's like it connects us. Like Victor connected us, and then you learn a little bit about Chile, and then I learn a little bit about you also, because you're an artist. And so it's not the same to, I don't know, be a gallerist coming from finance than being an artist. And I think that gives also a different feeling. So it's a beautiful way of circulating, meeting amazing human beings, thinkers, creators, and the art world in that way it's global, it's open.
I think there's not just one approach to this business. It's not very linear, you know. I mean, there's in Germany, you can't study it or learn it. You can learn at a gallery, you can study art history or whatever as a basics if you mm-hmm. want. But basically, it's what you bring into the business yourself. I mean, you don't have a classical art background either, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you come mm-hmm. from I think ballet, dance.
I'm a choreographer, a contemporary art choreographer.
When did you decide to go into the crazy gallery business, especially in a country, you know, where it's not that strongly, you know, a strong option as it might be in America or here in Germany and Europe?
Sure. Well, I guess it's something about childhood also. I've always been related to art. My family, they are all scientists and art lovers. So I grew up in a table where you would talk about art and science all the time. Mm-hmm. So, and then as a dancer, 35 years, I was just performing in Norway. Mm-hmm. And had this idea one morning that I should open a space where I can also help circulate artwork. So I came back home and hang my own collection and started to inviting artists to show at my own place. And because people knew I was a choreographer and my work was very aesthetic, to say in a way, and artists trusted me and people started to come home to see this experience, to have this experience. And it really worked out so well that after 8 years, it's still happening. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a choreographer, that was my big motivation, was to create experiences that could bring art closer to people and people closer to art, because it's that magical moment where an artwork is decoded, for me at least, when the eyes of somebody just stop on the artwork and start reading things, colors, forms, subjects, and establish a relationship there, and that brings the artwork really strongly live. And then, of course, because dance is so ephemeral, you cannot take home a dancer or a leg or a movement. You just take it in yourself. And so I thought the fact that people could buy the artwork and take it to their own place and start a new conversation and a new environment for that artwork was kind of the roots that could make mm-hmm. that artist flourish, blossom. And mm-hmm. so I just found I was kind of choreographing in another way, and it felt... Mm-hmm. It felt nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's as I said, there's no linear approach to this business, and I think, I mean, your interest in the creative and probably your understanding as an artist from a different field is always very helpful for me. It is, I think, one element that is key for me also to work with other galleries. Not everybody has to be an artist, but it's the understanding of art itself and different characters. So every artist that I've met, I don't think I can put two in the same box, you know, like how they are by character or whatever. I think it's easier, it's more likely to find a very close likeness between artworks and the artist and the approach to the work itself and the process than you find in people. And I think that's something that's they kind of got to understand, or at least try to understand, when you're running a gallery, that there's an individual behind every work that is very different from the next individual that they might exhibit and show. So I think it's personally for me, as I said, it doesn't really matter where you come from, but it's an approach to understanding something that doesn't really make any sense, and adds, I mean, for many people, for some people, art adds a financial value. But if you're getting into the business, or if you're an artist, that's not what you should think about, or what you're supposed to think about. It's a different kind of value that you generate, and you can't really describe it. It's like in these times, I think I had a couple of discussions with people about what can an artist bring to the table in a time where the world is suffering, where so much suffering. And I personally was at some point, I said this, I think in one podcast or so, is that we don't add any value, but I meant it differently. But I got a lot of discussions about it, because it's like a lot of people that not artists said, but sort of you're just, I need this, I need my daily dose of art. I need to be able to at least know you're there and see your progress. I often struggle with, and I'm an internet person. I understand internet. I know how marketing works and everything, but I don't like Instagram, for example. I think it's pretty simple. Something that takes too much time out of my day. And I very often do not understand the value of many things I see there. I understand if as an artist you can see a little bit the process and everything, but it takes some time away from your schedule. All right. So as a gallery, I understand that you need this for marketing, but as an artist, I just like, I don't know. I don't really want to spend time on this. But every time I mention this, the feedback is usually, but I want to see what you're doing, not as a private person, but as an artist. So I think we add some value, but it's not, you can't count it in money or anything else. I think it's a human service in certain aspects, maybe.
Definitely. I mean, I think if you think of our society as water, I mean, I think what keeps oxygen, what keeps the water being fresh, is art. Art is always moving. It's always generating a movement, for subtle or little or small or far away. It's like the butterfly effect. And I think that's why I'm saying fantastic how they are connected. Like before internet, probably it would take a lot of years to see the connection between two artists from different parts of the world, from different cultures. Like mythology, when you think of mythology, I mean, the story of how the stars were born, it repeats. And at that time, of course, there was zero internet. I mean, the connection was way beyond, I don't know, the surface of the earth, maybe. So yes, I think it's very important. And in this time particularly, I think art has supported the psyche, the how we feel. I mean, to be able to visit museums, to be able to listen to orchestras around the world. Of course, to be present, to be there, it's a unique experience. It vibrates on top of you. But still, I mean, to be able to receive poetry, online theater, yoga classes, dance classes. I mean, so many conversations that have happened this year that they were unthinkable before. People taking the time, I mean, to travel to somewhere, to get together and have a conversation about this. It would take time. It would get a super busy agenda, very difficult. And nowadays it's so possible. And so it has also multiplied that experience of being able to just like we're doing now, having this conversation. And it makes a lot of sense. And of course, we're overloaded maybe these days with so many info coming from the digital world. And it's hard to digest everything. But it's a process also. I mean, every crisis has... maybe also when you think of crisis in language, which art is a language in itself, and it takes time to adjust. Of course, there'll be people saying, no, 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 photograph, never. I mean, when it appeared, it was like, va de retro, this is not a good thing. But then in time, image proved to be a language. And so I think artists have supported this crisis in a very generous and a very meaningful way. And I think we all appreciate everything we've received in this time, and of course having time to go through, to learn, to explore, to dare to try. I mean, Yeah.
I don't know. I think one aspect of that came with this, of course, is that in March I suddenly have been much more busy with the whole business side than I intended to be at all in the beginning of the year. I was actually in March. I was writing my book. I'm writing a book that was supposed to come out last year, and then in March, when the whole thing started, I moved, you know, some pieces around to be able to continue with the gallery, or you know, change it around. So I basically dropped the pen on the book at that moment, and I'm just now looking for a date when I restart again and continue. At first, I have to read what I've written. Then, I mean, it's, you know, it's half finished, but it's, I don't even know what I wrote there yet. But so I focus on other things, and I became so super busy with together with Melvin, who's my son, who's now running the gallery. And then the next thing, you know, sort of was with the podcast. I think I talked to artists and gallerists three times a week in the beginning. I just wanted to know how they're doing, how you're coping with it. It would be probably very interesting to go back and now talk to some of them, you know, almost after a year now that you're in this situation. And then I came to the point where I said, okay, not too many, there are too many podcasts. So I just, you know, it was just earlier, I just don't want to pollute the digital sphere more, but just, you know, sort of be give out some more information that might be interesting to people. But it's also about starting to probably select what is important to you online. I think when many galleries started with their first online viewing rooms, I heard people saying, oh, I can't see any more online viewing rooms, and we're just starting. So people get kind of, you know, sort of annoyed by things that had just started, because everything blows out of proportion very quickly now with the internet and the state we are. But the bottom line is, you know, so for artists and for galleries who have always lived from showing art to people and the communication, I think that's the biggest part that's missing, you know. So there has to be, that's what we hear from people that like to come to a gallery and can't come to a gallery now. Say they buy a print and then they like the conversation that we have by email and say, at least I have some contact with you guys, you know. So I think it will still take some time to figure out what's actually a good way to deal with a situation where we can't, you know, sort of be as close as I think art needs it to be, you know.
But now just want to say that it also helps a lot to value when you have the chance to have the experience and walk in the gallery, because it was also a complaint that I was listening a lot in the past years, like people are not coming in the gallery. You know what I mean? It's like people would come for the opening and have drinks and have this very social thing going on, but then during the month or 2 months of the exhibition, maybe people wouldn't go that much and they had it there, or they would wait for the last minute to come. And so it's also, I think, a good thing to realize that when we have the opportunity of experiencing things firsthand, to be there, to take it. And at the same time, I believe this other world, the digital world, is also offering us come on, a little bit of information that maybe we would not take the time to go deep, to explore, to research a little bit on this artist that we liked or in this gallery or what it is. And I think probably we'll continue to have this two ways and they'll kind of nourish each other, hopefully. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's happening anyway, so.
No, but I think that's a good argument. I mean, it's not like before COVID, the gallery was full every weekday. That's true. Yes. You know, sort of crowded during the opening. And then, of course, you know, sort of there's a trickle of people coming. That's why we don't have, we've stopped having regular opening hours and just said, you know, sort of we're there most of the time anyway. If you're around, you can knock on the door or the door is open or you just make an appointment. Mm-hmm. And people had to learn this in the beginning, I think, but it had become the core of our business also over the past years, that we're just like a very personal place. I mean, if you come and have an appointment, we have time. We make time. You know, it's not like you come during the opening and everybody's just like, ah, I'd really like to finish that email. You know, are they interested in buying? I don't know. You know, this thing. Even though we're not, you know, sort of like thinking that about clients coming in, usually you know it from the first minute if people are interested in buying or not. But it's kind of a feeling. If you've done many fairs, you know that too. You know, clients, you know, you can start reading them. But I think that's not the argument. I think it's like if you have, you know, sort of the time set aside, it's all the stories that get interesting, you know what I mean? I mean, the one artist that we both know very well or know pretty well is like Victor, and there's so many interesting stories about him that you can tell people here in Germany who've never met him because he comes every 3 years to Germany. He comes regularly since 2007, but it's rare, you know, and then he's here for a couple of days preparing a show, then he's here for the opening, and usually then he's gone. So it's this one little opportunity. And when we can tell the stories, because we spend like, I don't know, every day with the artist then, you know, and I think that's very personal. But yeah, maybe people, you know, sort of will come more often during opening hours now after this. But I mean, this for you, there's a big change as well. I mean, you've mentioned this earlier. You've done many fairs, you know, sort of to get on the international market. That's something that's completely off the off now, right? Are you still doing online art fairs?
Well, we've tried some of them. There is a super project that was born in Argentina this year in March. Mm-hmm. That's called Otra Feria, another fair. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of loved it because it was not like the art fair that we know, just trying to become online. It was an online project thought from the beginning. And the way they did it was very refreshing. And so we participated along the year because they would kind of repeat and do episodes and it grew. And now it's happening and it will happen this year in different parts of the world. I mean, so we did that and we kind of tried to, we're doing now, for example, today was finishing of Contemporary Istanbul, mm-hmm. which we also loved it because they went beyond just, mm-hmm. it was not that the fair was with viewing rooms in Artsy or in other online platform. They created a 3D space. Mm-hmm. And they put a lot of super clever, sensitive technology in there. So you could really go through and walk through. It requires a little bit of experience. Of course, I am not super technological, so I feel myself frustrated sometimes when I'm trying to move forward and I am looking to the ceiling instead of the artwork. But I think what I loved about it, it was that the vision that they were having of how, you know, the world has become this two dimensions, the physical and the virtual. And it's inevitable that art, it's going to start to flow and create this inter exchange and of energy. And so why not? Why not open? Why not? We felt, for example, when we did the virtual gallery, actually it was a moment where we felt very free again. Because as I said, it has 500 square meters, thing that I would ever in my life be able to put together and to pay for every month. Imagine it's in the middle of the nature. So in a way, we realized that we could do so many things. And from a creative experience. And so it can be day, night, you know, if I want to have elephants on an opening in the garden, I can have them. So why not go beyond and explore what that can give us also, and how it adds a new value also to art. So yes, art fairs, in a way, it's really cue point of gathering and meeting new clients, and also having this very like quick feeling of what's going on around the world, and what part are you playing on that chess game, right? It's going to be, we have to face it, it's going to be difficult that we gather in those big events in a secure way for at least 1 year more. So I find interesting when people respond to that, creating new things. Just going beyond trying to replace one thing for the other, but really opening, taking the opportunity to explore beyond that. And it's how people respond, the audience, the artist. I've been surprised for that also. Like artists at the beginning were, but it's not going to be the same. I want to exhibit, I want people to see it live. But then the exhibition went around the world, and we started receiving comments from Hong Kong, from Berlin, from London, from Paris, New York, Mexico, and all at the same time. And you think, wow, this is also exciting, because when you open in a city, you know, it's that community that's going to come in to see the exhibition, hopefully. But then when you can reach out a global community of art lovers, it has an impact.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, you've done how many fairs every year then?
Four art fairs in a year, four or five maybe. Hong Kong always, which I love, Art Central, Contemporary Istanbul, Miami, Chile, of course. Argentina or Mexico, depending on what happens. Last year we were scheduled also to do Lisbon and Madrid, but of course it canceled. So we hope this year, at least, I'm really hoping for art fairs to go online. I think it's a different way of experiencing it, but it still connects us a lot. It creates a lot of conversations, which are amazing. it brings you an idea of what's happening globally. And I think as a collector, how you appreciate when your local community is put in place in an international also. So then you have this double support to your artist and to your gallery, because you understand also how valuable the work of local artists is happening, because you're also able to put them in the context of the global. So I hope really that art fairs this year will find a way, will not discourage, will not disappear, and will invite us galleries to participate in online formats. Even though they might be different ways of doing it, I still think it's a moment where we all get together, and it helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's part of their job now, to think about ways how this can work. I mean, if I get still all the invitations to the fairs and I see what, you know, most are doing. And I think I find it kind of difficult often to navigate to the content that I'm really interested in. And I think that's the biggest issue. I think when people come to Hong Kong to go to the fair, they go over the fair and then they discover you they either go to you because they know you and they want to meet you and leave everything aside, or just the 5-6 galleries they want to visit, or they just come to your booth and then it's just like, wow, I want to stop here. And how do you get people to that point, you know, where to make discoveries, you know, in the digital space where you might get lost?
Well, I think the main thing is the artwork. Mm-hmm. I think if you dare and you just take the chance to bring new things, for example, of course, Asia, it's a different culture, but I can see how it grows year and year, that they are more open to the idea of new artists, of new projects, of things coming from different places in the world, that they taste different, they smell, they give a different feeling, and they add something, as I say, that also gives value to what you have been collecting your whole life, which might be mostly local production or local in the continent. So these little elements refresh and give and add value to what you're doing, and especially because also people in the past 5-10 years have started to travel so much.
Mm-hmm. What are the artists that from your gallery that stand out in Asia?
Well, the thing is with Hong Kong, and the same happens with a little bit with Istanbul, is that they are like the door to. So what circulates in those days of art fairs is it's very international, actually, especially Hong Kong. It's very, very interesting how people from Australia, from Asia, of course, all over, from Europe, will come to Hong Kong. And so it's very international, but I'm very surprised to see how collectors have kind of take the chance to bring into their collections artists from the very south of the world. Mm-hmm. Artists that are not, many of them are young artists, so they're even emerging artists double emerging artists in the global market, if you think so. But it's the quality of the work, it's the spirit of the work that I think talks out loud. And the beautiful thing about art, it's that there's no speaking language. I mean, like it talks to everybody. And And of course, I just love to talk about the work of my artists. So I'm always super available at an art fair or here at the gallery. As you say, I really take my time to talk to people and to introduce the artwork and not to give for granted anything, but just be there for people. And but it's amazing. I mean, like the from the first year, our booth was full of people, full of eyes looking at these new different things. And mm-hmm. slowly also you have to build trust. And so that's why I keep going, because I understood from the beginning that that was a very important element. If you come, you keep on coming, it's because there's something valuable this place is offering you. And so we establish a relationship. And Victor, for example, was a super success. I remember when I took Victor to Australia, to Sydney Contemporary. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly somebody comes in the booth and screaming, Victor Castillo, can't believe it. And the girl was almost crying. And she said, no, this is the first time I see a Victor Castillo live. Mm-hmm. And then I realized how rock star he was, and mm-hmm. how people from everywhere would follow his work, and thanks to the networks and the social yeah. networks. I'm talking about 2015, I mean, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And so she started calling friends, and they came truly to be in front of Victor mm-hmm. Castillo. So it's not only about selling the artwork, as I say. I think it's important because it gives roots. It amplifies the roots of that tree, so it'll grow solid. And it's really important. I like when I go to an art fair that the artwork stays there or goes from there to other places. I don't like to bring it home, and that's not sure. only economic reasons. It's the feeling that we did well, that we did good. And mm-hmm. but it's also about spreading the word of the existence of this mm-hmm. artist and their artwork, and how it infiltrates in new societies, in new environments, and kind of starts its own way. It's like water, you can't stop it. I mean, and I think that's an amazing thing about visual arts, as same as dance. So you don't mm-hmm. need to speak a word. You don't need to know yeah. Hong Kongese or Chinese. I mean, it'll establish an own conversation, and that's beautiful. As music, mm-hmm. you just take with you. You don't need translation.
Yeah, it's a international language in itself. You know, so. People can understand that. I think the experience that if you take artwork to, I mean, Australia is a remote place too. I mean, not in, yeah. you know, development, but it's very far away from most. I mean, I think most people will never travel to Australia. I've been to Australia twice, but it's been a while, and I always liked it, but it's a very long way to go there. And they have their own very interesting art scene and their own challenges with being so far away, but they're part of the Asian market more, I guess. But I have the experience of taking an artwork to different countries, to art fairs, and then either the way people see this for the first time, and you know, oh, this is already a pretty famous, well-known artist, and they have the opportunity to discover it from the original, or like in the case of Victor, you know, somebody comes and says, oh, I never thought I'd see this live, because it's probably not going to be in a museum around the corner, you know, very, mm-hmm. very soon, you know? So, yeah. Yeah, I like that, you know, I like that experience. It's probably sort of pretty giving. And also I agree that it's not just for economical reasons. It's good to leave it there, but otherwise it's just an exhibition piece. And this way it kind of, you know, sort of continues to live. You know, so I like I'm selling a lot of work through other galleries, and that's anonymous. It's gone, you know, and I don't mind. It's part of my business. I create a work. Once it's done, you know. When it sells, I'm happy, you know. So the gallery trusted in me, make some money, and I make some money. That's fine. That's the economic part. But I most what I appreciate most is when I know where the work is ending. When you get an email from people say, "Wow, this is in our living room now," or before Christmas, I sold two works to a couple that had bought one piece before when they were in Hamburg, and these they bought now online from Melvin because they thought this one was so lonely in the room and they wanted more, and they liked these that they saw. And then Melvin got the feedback, you know, because he's the gallerist now, so he got the feedback and he just forwarded it to me. And it's so nice to see that, you know, sort of, oh, it found a place, you know, so the story continues. Now it's in a different dining room, living room, whatever. There are other stories around it. People will talk about this. This is when the artwork continues to live. It's not going into some abyss, but it's somewhere. And I think that if you can actually achieve that through fairs and, you know, make new friends and make, you know, relations, you know, it's about relationships.
Boundaries. Beautiful and forever. I mean, when I always tell Victor's collectors, you guys are part of Victor's family in a way. And you might be in Australia, the other one in Santiago, Chile, or Hong Kong, or Germany, but you guys are all connected. And I think that's a beautiful thing to happen. And I feel I'm very lucky to be part of that movement that connects, that opens, that shows, as I say, like bringing art from the south of the world to other people that I know that I can realize that because they are seeing it, they become very interesting. Before that, if they haven't, they don't know it exists, it's impossible that they would get interest. So it's a two-way coming, and I'm in the middle, and it's quite enriching.
Mm-hmm. So what I mean, you mentioned earlier that, you know, like that when you're going to Asia, people are interested in these, you know, sort of southern artists. I think you called them. What is the profile of your gallery? Are you, I mean, you're working with Ms. Van too. That's the other artist, yeah. I think that I know, personally know. But what is there any kind of profile or selection that you make?
Of course I do a selection, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I do it from my guts. It's like... Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter where they come from, or is that...
No, not necessarily. I mean, when I went to Hong Kong the first time, I realized that it was... As I said, a two-way going. If I take an artist from Chile and it stays in a collection in Hong Kong, my collectors in Chile or his collectors here in Chile, it adds to them. But as well, if I went to Hong Kong and put my eyes on what was going around this artist in other galleries and from other parts of the world, and I realize he's having like this conversation with other artists, and I bring that artist also to Chile, then it really becomes stronger. So that's why I open to work with from artists from different parts of the world, because I thought it brought value to this conversation, and it would kind of grow around for everybody. And it has been wonderful. Miss Van, for example, I was very lucky. Victor introduced me to her, and I had been an admirer of her way before I was a gallerist. And mm-hmm. I had almost bought an artwork from Miss Van at one moment in Mexico. And she was very generous, very open. She didn't know me. Actually, we met like 4 years after that, face to face. And so I think it's a very particular way of doing it. But I'm very eclectic when it comes to media. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the artist's ideas and feelings, and probably because I come from the art, the dance world, figurative is something that really I relate to it. And and I love also to see how contemporary artists are kind of rethinking what's figurative, rethinking what the portrait, what's happening, you know, coming back and forth with that. But it's mostly something. And I started with a very, very small group of artists because precisely I wanted to do a little bit more than just selling the artwork. I wanted to kind of think as strategies to how to help them develop their career, to see other possibilities, to be a little bit their eyes and design ways in which I thought they could blossom more. And because I have more practice now, then I've been bringing in more artists. But in the last years, I see myself really specializing a lot in emerging artists. I'm kind of, it really gets me to discover a 20-year artist and from the very beginning start working with him. How does he imagines what's happening, and I really feel that I can bring something very good and also add to them. So and it's refreshing, and I just
I think it's there's always a good feeling if you start working with artists when they're kind of in their beginnings, and when you are able to continue that for a while, it's nice to see some kind of development. I mean, I'm looking back on many things now, but when you look at certain relationships with artists that are going on for almost two decades now, it's interesting, you know, to see. And then sometimes I mean, Melvin now, he did his first exhibition with some really brand new talent, and that's the one thing that I'm really looking forward to. His program is, you know, so these really young artists that I might not get, you know. I mean, I see their work, and I'm pretty sure we both can value it and say, okay, this is great work. This like needs a lot of expertise. But being at the beginning of a story, I think it's when you're on a similar level, I think it's very interesting, and you have to throw a lot of trust into that one. And maybe when you get older, you lose that. You know, you're just like, I want to be a little bit more secure about the decision that I'm making. And so, yeah, I think it's a very refreshing approach, you know, sort of to go that way.
The other thing that keeps me going a lot is together with opening to this young, new, really emerging artist and to discover them, is the trust that artists that have, that are more established, have in our project. And how generous, as I was saying, Miss Van or Chacho Yanone, this Argentinian couple, or Jackie Tsai, this Chinese artist that we had this meeting once in his studio in London. I was in love with his work, and he said, "Why do you want to work with me? You're so far away. I mean, I know nothing about Latin American market." And I didn't have much words. I was just starting. So I showed him postcards that I had from each of the artists of the gallery. And he picked up Victor Castillo, Cecilia Andaño, and he started looking and he said, "Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. I love it. And whatever comes out of here, I'm sure it'll be okay." And I think Nicola Berlato also, I mean, Victor, in his moment when I was just starting, and I called him to LA and I said, "Victor, I'm so in love with your work and I want to do this. And what do you think?" And he said, "Yes. Go to my parents' house in Santiago. I have some works I left there, some canvas, take them and let's start." And so I think it's a combination that, and of course, our community of collectors and clients and that have supported us through the years. And they also give us a reason to keep on going, even though many times we've thought, I just can't do it anymore. I'm sure it happened to you as well. There are moments that are really tricky and you think, is it worth it? I'm not sleeping. I don't know. My stomach is not well. I don't know how to continue. And I think altogether, they always give you a sign that yes, that the project is worth it. And nothing. I just like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's a struggle often, and it's got lots of ups and downs. But it's the reason why we're doing, why we're in the art, you know, sort of. Itself is something that's not easy to explain at some point. It's just a feeling, and if that feeling is strong and good, then it's worth it. Can you continue to with Victor? I mean, I know him for some time now, and we had these talks about Chile and his hometown. It's always a very political one, and it was, you know, sort of with his universe and everything, and there was always a little regret that he wasn't really showing his work in his hometown. So I know that he was extremely happy that he finally found a place in you to be able, and a person in you to be able to do that. You know, I mean, it's like he had fame in Barcelona. We made him, you know, sort of quite well known in Germany. And then he is in LA, and that works, of course, and New York. These things work, you know, like the American art scene is perfect for Victor. But he was always missing this piece, you know, this very important piece, that, you know, so because that is, no matter how hard he sometimes talks and paints about Chile, you know, so it's a very emotional part. And so so I think you've started something with Victor there that is very important for him, you know, and very good for him too.
Yeah, I love the guy.
But he needs emotional galleries. He's not like, he can't, I mean, I don't think he can, you know, sees very well with a very business-oriented types. You know, a lot of things with Victor come from the heart. Yeah. Isabel, I hope, you know, technically it wasn't too difficult. I think we've covered a lot of ground here, and I'm always open or always happy to talk again at a certain point, you know, in a couple of months or a year or so, just to touch base again. It was really a pleasure talking to you today. And yeah, and thanks for doing this, you know.
No, and thanks to you for having the idea of the podcast and for inviting me. I mean, I know it took a little bit long, but here we are, and I really appreciate the conversation and the interest and that you bring us a little bit closer.
Yeah, I'm happy if I can play any part in this.
And love to have, you know, to pick up later, seeing also how everything is evolving and what new challenges or how are we hanging on that.
Yeah, there's still a couple of challenges ahead still, you know, so we can talk about that next time.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. Ciao.